If you're glad that this is not your final place, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Man, I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the day. Now, today is October 13, 2024. I hope you're having a great day. Look at the person next to you and say, have a great day. But I want to talk to you about your greatest day. And that could end up being October 13, 2024. For some people in this room, could be the greatest day of their entire life. And I want to talk to you about that great day. Now, we've called it Harvest Day, and harvest is interesting. Obviously, you've got people out there that are planting and watering, but it's God who gives the increase for any harvest. We do our part, and God does His part, and that's to bring the increase. Man, I've been praying for a harvest day. Now, if you're here today and you're a guest, we need to get something settled right now. Whatever happens today, I guarantee you, next week will be better. Okay? All right? We got the bench out there today. But next week will be better. You've got, if you're visiting today, say, you know, this is the first time I've ever been to Worth Baptist Church. Well, let me tell you this. It gets better after you hear me. Let me tell you. And there is. Now, I know you say all those things and everything, but I'm telling you the honest truth. If I lived in the state of Texas, this is where I'd go to church. You say, Brother Scheller, do you have any idea how big Texas is? Do you have any idea how great a pastor this is? I'm telling you, if I lived it now, I probably would move a little bit closer to Fort Worth, okay? But I'm telling you the honest truth. This would be the church I would want to be a part of. By the way, not only for the under-shepherd that God's blessed you with, but for the spirit in this place as well. And if you're a guest, this isn't just like, well, they're just this acting this way because there's a pumpkin patch. No, this is the way they act all the time. And this is the spirit that they have. And I've been here several times and have enjoyed it every time. Take your Bibles and we're going to study somebody that had the greatest day of their life. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, and I'll tell you, for this guy, this was the greatest day of this man's life. Now, he was a paraplegic at the beginning of this day. He was not able to walk, and he had what was called back in Bible times the palsy, and they didn't even have wheelchairs, let alone any kind of help for him whatsoever. And you say, well, Brother Scheller, are you going to tell me that he got healed? Yes, we are. We say, well, surely that was probably the greatest day of his life, the day that he was able to walk. Yeah, let me tell you, that is not why it was the greatest day of his life. Now, that was a great thing. He will always remember the day that he was a paraplegic and then the day he could start walking again. Oh, yeah, that was a huge day. But that is not what made it his greatest day. I want you to see this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 17, and we'll go ahead and read the story, and then I'll just have a short word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Hey, would you mind if we were to just stand for the reading of God's Word? And you know, as you're standing, let me just tell you about what you got in your hand right now. Maybe you didn't bring a Bible. It'll be right up here. But let me tell you why you're standing right now. Because we need a little more exercise. Yeah, you know what you do? You need to stretch a little bit before you sit down for 3 hours, okay? So, no. It won't be, it'll just seem that long. Okay, no. But no, listen, there's another reason. So we're in what is called the Gospel of Luke. Now there's four Gospels. Worth Baptist people will help me with them. The four Gospels are? Okay. Now, this is part of what is called the New Testament, the New Agreement, the New Covenant with God. There's the Torah, the Old Testament. These are the four Gospels. You say, Brother Scheller, don't they tell the same stories? Well, in a way that they do, this story that we're about to read is found in three of the Gospels. Each one of the stories tells a little bit different. In the Gospel of Mark, we find out there were four men that brought it. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a little statement that's not in Matthew and Mark that I want you to really get a hold of with what the guys did. But yeah, you say, well, Brother Shelley, why do we need four gospels, four different writers to tell the same story? Well, the same reason why you have a trombone and a trumpet in the orchestra. You see, the same breath can go into it. The same person could play a trombone and he could play a trumpet, but the sound would be very different. God breathed the words that he wanted to these four men and all of the writers of the Bible. Now, they sound different. The trumpet of Matthew doesn't sound like the trombone of Luke, but it's the same breath that goes in every one of them. These are God's words. We didn't come to Worth Baptist to hear anything that Brother Shetler has to say. By the way, next week, you really don't come to hear what this guy has to say. You come to hear what God's word has to say. Now, let me tell you something about Worth Baptist. And this, I meant everything I said. I'm telling you, if I lived in Texas, this is where I'd go. But I will tell you this. When you come to this church, this will be the book that's opened every time. This will be what they believe and they live by, God's word. So this is important that we stand in reverence for God's word, because this is what we're going to look at. It is not what Shetler has to say today. It is the truths from Luke chapter 5 that we are here for today. Look with me if you would. I'll read the story. We'll have a quick word of prayer and you can get back sitting down. Luke chapter 5 verse 17. And it came to pass on a... Oh, everyone together. What's the next two words? On a... Yeah, this is his greatest day. That's the title of the message, your greatest day. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. We're talking about all of Israel. These doctors and Pharisees were hearing about Jesus, and they go like, we got to find out about this guy. And the power, ability, dunamis, power of the Lord was present to heal them. There was an electricity in that house. There was the power of God. Jesus was there. May Jesus be in this house today. Verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they, and only this gospel mentions these next two words, and they sought means. I love that. They were trying to figure out a way to get their friend to Jesus. Oh man, that's good. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they may bring him in, they went back to their home. No. And because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop. They went up on the roof and let him down through the tiling with the couch. Brother Shetler, they ripped off somebody's roof? That tells you how important it is to get people to Jesus. By the way, do you ever think about the owner of this house? I think they were thrilled that in their house, somebody was coming to Jesus, even if the roof got... I love that. His couch into the mist before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, I love that. It wasn't the guy, the paraplegic. It was the people that brought him. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, stand up and rise. You can walk now. No, because the greatest need this man had wasn't the ability to walk with his legs. Man, thy sins are, everyone together, what's the next word? Forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, they're all doing this inside. The other gospels said that they're thinking this inside. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yeah, that's right. They're theologically correct with that. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And 2 months later, a week later, he rose, everyone together, and... Oh, man, hey, these guys are okay, man, I'm telling you. And immediately, he rose up before them. By the way, immediately today, you can be forgiven of your sins. We're not talking about a process here, getting baptized, starting to give, and changing your life. Today, immediately, this can be the greatest day of your life. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, whoa, we have seen strange things. You know what the word is there in the Greek? Paradox. Boy, this was not what we expected. This is unbelievable. This was uncommon. Today. Man, may we see that today. Father, thank you so much for these folks. I thank you for the spirit that's in here, and I thank you for every soul that's in this room. I'm sure right now they're going like, well, what is this place? What in the world's going on? And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit, I'm so excited, but Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will calm their hearts, convict their hearts, and Lord, may everyone here today know you as their Savior. And I pray that there is somebody here today that this will be the greatest day of their life. October 13th, 2024, the day they came to know Jesus as their Savior. That will be the greatest day, the day their sins were forgiven. October 13th, 2024. Oh, not because of a church, but because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. May there be a soul here today that this will be the greatest day of their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Now go ahead and sit down. Amen. Well, first of all, there's three things we're going to look at today. Our greatest friends, our greatest need, and our greatest moment. I want you to see our greatest friends. Now, today's Harvest Day at Worth Baptist, but in a sense, it's kind of Friend Day too. I do not know, as I look out, even as many times as I've been here, I don't know who's visiting today, and I don't know who's a member here or anything like that. But it's very possible that you're here today because somebody invited you. There was somebody that cared and invited you. Now, I want to talk to you about the greatest friends you will ever have in your life. Because these guys are pretty special friends. Look with me, if you would, at verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto them. There's three things here that I see. I think you could probably come up with more. But there's three things that I see about good friends. Number one, good friends are burdened about our needs. When you have a need, a good friend is burdened. By the way, there is a physical need here, and they were burdened about that physical need. We got a buddy who can't walk, and we've heard about an individual who does miracles. We've heard about somebody that could help our friend, and they had a burden for the needs of their friend. I want to tell you this right now. Worth Baptist Church, we can get all excited. We can sing good songs, and we can be real friendly and shake hands, and everyone did, boy, what a really good spirit. But I'll tell you, the proof of a church is that when you come along your members and you're burdened for the needs that they have, and they're going through a difficult time emotionally, spiritually, in their marriage, with their children, physically, financially, good friends carry other people's burdens. They're burdened for the need. These guys were burdened. By the way, Again, I do not know the friend that invited you, and I don't know that you're a visitor here. But if you're sitting next to someone right now that invited you, can I tell you something about that person? I've never met them, but I'll tell you something about them. They're burdened for you. They did everything that they could. They are so excited today. They're just thinking to themselves, oh, dear God, I have prayed so much for my neighbor, for my coworker, for this person I met at the restaurant or whatever it may be. God, I am so burdened for them. Let me tell you something. That you're here with them today shows me something about you, but it shows me something about them. They care for what's going on in your life right now, and they're burdened for you. And they may not know. And again, I don't know. Nobody told me any stories. But they know that you've been going through cancer. They know that things have not gone well in your marriage. And they are carrying that load. And they said, boy, I'll tell you what we got to do. I am burdened for the needs. But then look at the second thing. I love this. This is what good friends do. They knew where to take them. Good friends bring other people to Jesus. By the way, whether they're already saved and emotionally they're going through something, a good friend says, hey, you got to get back to Christ. You got to get back to the Word of God. Listen, you're going in a wrong direction in your life. You got to come back to Christ. Good friends don't center their lives around, hey, come back to me. I'll be your friend. No, they're taking them to somebody. A good friend brings others to Jesus. Man, they knew where to go. They knew the person. I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to get you to Christ. Because he's the only one that can do for you what you need. Man, I'm burdened for you. But it's one thing to be burdened and then take them to the wrong places. You can be burdened for someone and take them to worldly ideas. You can be burdened for someone and do different things for them. But it's never going to help them if you don't bring them to Christ. If you got a friend that invited you today, I guarantee they're burdened about you. But I tell you what, they also brought you to a place you're going to hear Jesus. I don't care if you ever join our church. I don't care if you ever become a member. I don't care if you ever give in the offering plate. You just need Christ. And that's what good friends do. And then number three, I like this. They believe in what God could do. There's so many things about this story I love. But what I want of the top is that Jesus saw their faith. I'm just going to talk to you for just a minute, Worth Baptist. I sense you have this here, but don't ever lose this. You got to have a belief that God's going to do something every Sunday. There's got to be a belief. God's in the house this today. God's going to do something. There was an absolute confidence. If we can get our friend to Jesus, Jesus will heal him. We have an absolute belief with that. Now, Brother Schiller, how do you know this? A couple things. Number one, their resolve. They were absolutely resolved. We are getting him to Jesus. Think about that. When they come up to this little house, this little house on the Sea of Galilee in the city of Capernaum, when they come up to this house, there's people everywhere. I mean, there's doctors, and they're from Judea, Jerusalem, and the Galilee area. All of the Pharisees, all of the doctors, all of these people. By the way, not everybody in the house are necessarily believers. Boy, this is a whole group of people that do not believe in Jesus. They're just there to observe. They're there to criticize. And they come up with their buddy and they go, whoa, look at all these people. What are we going to do with all, Well, I'll tell you right now, this religious crowd, they ain't budging. They get, hey, get out of here. Get out. Get that guy out of here. Get him out of here. No, we got to get them. Could you move? No. So they got to start thinking about ways. I love it. They sought means. They knew we got to get them to Jesus. They were resolved. And you have to admit, this is quite the story. So they're looking around and they say, hey, guys, I got an idea. Let's take our buddy around to the window and we'll bring him in. Hey, that's a great idea. They start going around and they get around the back and they go, hey, you know what? What's that? There's no windows in this house. Okay, well, that's not going to work. hey, I got some shekels. So they throw the shekels down. And they, you know, they go, excuse me, pardon me. Can't get in. And then one of the guys. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Hey, when we were around the back of the house, there was a ladder back there. What if we take you up the ladder, we'll get up the roof, we'll tear the roof down, off, and then we'll lower you down. By the way, can you think about the paraplegic guy? You know what, guys, I think I'm okay. Maybe we'll catch him down at the seashore someday. I could be paraplegic for another couple days. Is this really? No, guy, we got this. They take him up. They are resolved. Today is the day. Today is the day. They rip that roof off, and by the way, I just love this part. You know, those roofs back there were all the thatch, and they put mud in there. All that mud. They're opening up the door. All that debris going down on those Pharisees and those doctors. And I'm just loving that. I like seeing lawyers all with dirt all over them. I just like that. Man, they're ripping that roof off. All that debris. And I'm going, oh, man, what in the world? We're getting him to Jesus. We know that they believe this. They have a, and you know, I put down a couple things at this. I just really like. They had a resolve. They were resourceful. And you know what? Maybe your friend didn't come today, Worth Baptist Church member. Don't give up. Figure out other ways. Maybe have them over to your house before you bring them to God's house. Do something. Be resourceful. These guys were resourceful. And I put down they were refreshing. I think when Jesus starts seeing the roof open up, you just know he's got to be smiling like, you guys are all right, man. We're going to have a good day today, man. Look what you did to get him here. Now, that's a good friend. A friend is one who's burdened for your needs, bringing you to Christ and believing what God can do. Hey, thank you, Worth Baptist members that invited people, and maybe you even have some with you, or you got some planned for next week. That's a good friend. Second thing I want you to see, not only our greatest friends, but our greatest need. Look at verse 20, because this is an amazing statement. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, sir, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, that's an amazing. Now, if you're in this story like I'm in, and everything's happened, they bring the couch down, you know, they lower him down. And there it is. There is no question this man has a physical need. There is no question he's paraplegic. There is no question he cannot walk. Therefore, we would all assume there is no question what the greatest need is. But Jesus doesn't go there. The greatest need of this man is the greatest need that every one of us in this room have. And that is for the forgiveness of our sins. So let me tell you something else about Worth Baptist Church if you're visiting today. There's a bunch of sinners in here. I don't know if you should be amen in that, but anyways. But the idea, I think you can amen. I go like, amen, we're wicked sinners. And you are. And let me tell you about the guy preaching to you today. My thoughts, my words, and my actions, I have violated the commandments of God. The greatest need that a little religious boy at 12 years of age on November 8, 1969 needed was I surely didn't need more religion. I needed a relationship, and I needed to be forgiven of my sins. Now, let me tell you, folks, every one of us have a need. Now, we may have a nice little suit on. We may have a nice little Sunday outfit on. But we're sinners. And we have to be forgiven of our sins. And isn't it interesting? He doesn't even deal. Now, he's going to heal this guy. He's going to use this as an illustration that I have power to forgive. I am God in the flesh. And he's going to raise him up. But that was not the issue. The issue was this man's relationship with God that was separated because of sin. And I want you to know that every one of you in here, your greatest need is not more money in your bank. Your greatest need is not that your marriage is restored. It's not. It's not that your children come back to God. It's not that that cancer is taken away. The greatest need you have in this room today is you have a need to have your sins, the things that you have thought, said, and done that are contrary to the Word of God, forgiven by the grace of God. That is the greatest need. And that's immediately what Jesus goes to. Now listen, it was not physical, it was spiritual. Our greatest needs, and boy, I have done counseling for 45 years. And I don't want to get into it too much today. I'm not going to get into it. But all of these people talk about chemical imbalance and they talk about clinical depression. Well, I ask a question. What comes first? If you don't deal with your spiritual needs right, you will have absolute physical problems. You will have major emotional problems if you don't deal with your spiritual needs. So much of what we are calling clinical depression does not come from a physical problem. It comes because we have not dealt with our spiritual needs. And my friends, that begins at the cross with forgiveness of your sin. Because when that forgiveness comes, all of the anger, all of the bitterness that's causing a chemical imbalance, that's causing all kinds of things in your body, are resolved when you get your sins forgiven. This was not physical, it was spiritual. Number two, it was not religious, it was relational. And number three, and this is huge, it's not going to be answered by human means. It's going to have to be answered by a divine. Because notice, even the Pharisees realize this. Look at what it says. Thy sins are forgiven. Look at verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? Everyone in this room together, what are the next three words? Who can forgive sins? But God alone. They are right on with this, folks. Well, Brother Sheldon, I'm not sure I understand this. Like, if my spouse says something or does something for me to her that hurts me, can I forgive them? Yes, there can be a reconciliation there. But there is not a person in this room that can take away the penalty of anyone else's sin. I can reconcile with you. I forgive you. You shouldn't have said that. Man, I love you. I forgive you. We can reconcile our relationship. But I cannot take away the penalty of anyone's sin. Nobody in this room can do something for somebody else that takes their penalty of their sin away. By the way, the only person that could ever do that would have to be someone that was perfect. You couldn't have sin, and you couldn't have been a sinner and then go ahead and give your life for some other sinner and take away their penalty of sin. Well, what about yours? You had to be perfect. And there is only one that has ever come, and he was born in flesh. He did not have Adam's nature. He did not have a propensity and an inclination to do wrong. He lived in absolutely, he hungered, he thirsted, he tired. He experienced everything that man, he had flesh, but he had no sin. He never one time thought, said, or did anything that was contrary to the will of his Father. And Jesus today, and you say, well, Brother Scheller, you say all that, but like, how do you know that? I'm going to tell you how I know it. He rose from the dead. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves he was the perfect man to substitute for Jim Shetler's sin. He took my place. You say, Brother Shetler, I'm not sure I completely understand this. I mean, this is, you're saying that Jesus did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I said, that's exactly what I'm saying. So let me show you something that might help you understand this a little bit. So we got two chairs today. We got Jim's chair. Everyone together, whose chair is this? And then we have, everyone together, whose chair is this? This is Jesus' chair. Okay, we got Jesus' chair here. So let me tell you what we got here about salvation. Jim's chair is a chair of condemnation. Jim's chair, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I don't mean to be funny with this, but in a way, this is like the electric chair. This is the chair of condemnation. I have to pay for my sins, for the wages, what I have earned. For the wages of sin is death. I am in a chair of death. I am in a chair of condemnation. But let me tell you what happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left his throne. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Jesus Christ, who was and is God in the flesh. 2,000 years ago, he gets up from his throne. He is born as a babe in a little town called Bethlehem in a stone manger. He lives 33 and a half years. He lives an absolutely perfect life. And he becomes, Jim, I'm leaving my throne. Get out of there. And I'm going to take your chair. And Jesus comes and takes my chair. He takes my place. And you know what that means I get to do? I get to go to heaven. And I can sit in heavenly places now because of what Christ did for me. This is not about going to a church. This is not about living a good life. This is about believing in the one who did for me what I could not do for myself. He took my place so that I could spend eternity in heaven. I'll tell you what the greatest day of your life is. The day you recognize who he was. And by the way, the Bible says flesh and blood reveals this not unto you. So this is really cool. Listen to this. If you're sitting here today and you say, you know, Jim, I think this is the first time in my life I've always believed in Jesus. I've always known him as a historical figure. And I know that he was religious. I know he was a good teacher and he did a lot of good things. But I think this is the first time in my life I've ever understood that Jesus is God. Now let me tell you, that is not because of my good preaching. If you believe that right now, that is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. If you today would say, you know what? I believe Jesus is God. I believe that it was God who became flesh. If you do believe that in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life right now. And I'll tell you the next thing. I'll tell you, it's the greatest day when you recognize, the greatest moment of your life, when you recognize that Jesus is God. Number two, the greatest moment of your life when we realize that we cannot save ourselves. You know what? This isn't working real good with me. I mean, I've tried my best. I've lived a good life. And compared to other people, I'm not bad. But it is not going to be my works. I don't know what religion you come from. But I will tell you, all religions except for Christianity says it's what you do, that you got to do certain things. Years ago when I was pastoring in Pensacola, I had a couple, Doug and Teresa. And Teresa's mother was coming to visit for 3 months and staying with Doug and Teresa. And she came from a very religious background that said, be good, do good, look good. And at the end of your life, if your good outweighs your bad, you'll get to go to heaven. And oh, Doug and Teresa prayed for their mother, Mary. And they prayed for Mary. And she came to my Sunday school class. And she liked me. And she said, you know, she told her daughter, she said, I like that priest. He's a really good, I like him. And I'll go back. So she started coming, and I started developing a relationship with her and trying to witness to her. But boy, she was deep in her religion. And we got to talking one day, and I found out she's Italian. And I found out she can cook. And we started talking about some Italian dishes. And I said, well, let me just tell you my favorite, Mary. My favorite Italian dish is manicotti. And she says, no. I said, yeah, it really is. It really is. And she said, well, I just want you to know, Reverend, I make the best manicotti you've ever tasted. And I said, well, I'd like to try that. So sure enough, we get a meal. And she and Teresa calls me up during the week. You will not believe what my mother is doing for you. She has been out to the store every day. She's adding another dish. You are going to get all of Italy on Friday night. I mean, it is going to be unbelievable. And I said, pray, Teresa, Doug, pray. Okay, so she invites the family over. And so we're getting ready. And I get an envelope. And I put some money in an envelope in our bedroom. And my wife says, what are you doing? I said, don't worry about it. She said, what are you doing? I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. And she says, Jim, don't screw up this night. Teresa and Doug, don't worry about it. I got this. So we go over, and I am telling you, no exaggeration, that is the best Italian meal I have ever had in my life. The sausage, the lasagna, some of you got drooling right now. But anyways, it was unbelievable. At the end of the meal, I pull out this envelope. And I got this envelope. And I pull out, and I tell Mary, I said, Mary, I believe that is the greatest meal, Italian meal, I have ever had in my entire life. And I got something I want to give you. Well, when I said that, everyone around the table froze, except for my wife, who's kicking me under the table. Jim, what are you doing? I said, Mary, I got a little something for you in the envelope for the meal. What happens next? I will never forget, nor will anyone else at that table ever forget. My kids were there too. She pushes away from the table. And she stands up and she says, what is in that envelope? And I said, it's just a little gift, a little money that I want to give you for the meal. And she looked at me and she said, how dare you? How dare you? And my wife is like, oh, what did you do? Doug and Teresa go, oh man, they ruined everything. Oh, this gets good. How dare you? I have worked all week long for this meal. I don't know what you got in that envelope, but it is not enough to tell you what I have done for this meal. And you're going to give me something for what I did for you? She said, I've never been so insulted. And everyone's going, oh, wow, way to go, Pastor. And I looked at Mary. And I said, Mary, what do you think Jesus thinks about everything you're trying to do to go to heaven when Jesus gave his life and he suffered and he bled and he died? And we're going to add to that? And she stood there and she realized for the first time, we don't do things for somebody who's done it all. That would be a sham. If you're here today and you've never received Christ and you've never trusted in completely on what He did for you. Yeah, but I'm trying really hard. That is a shame to God. He died on that cross to provide it. If there's something you could do to get to heaven, then why did He die? He died because we can't save ourselves. That's why He died. Now, I want to tell you, I know everyone's going to come up to me afterwards. Mary did not get saved that night. It was about a year and a half later. I went to a nursing home that she was at outside of Denver. and I got to lead Mary to the Lord. But I do believe that that night she recognized the fact it's not what I do, it's what Christ has already done. And the greatest moment in your life is that moment that you go, God, I cannot do this. I believe it was a divine appointment that God brought you here today. I believe that it was not by accident that your friend cares for you. And I'm telling you right now, that person sitting next to you right now, I know what they're doing. I'm being very transparent. They're praying. God, would they receive your salvation today? Could today be the day? And immediately, he was healed. The moment we receive Christ as our Savior. Hey, I got a little something. Pastor, would you come on up here for just a second? I got a little something. Everyone together, what do I got in my hand? Can you see that? What do I got? Can you see it? What is it? Ticket to heaven. Okay, I got a ticket to heaven, okay? And we're going to call, what is this? Bible. We're going to call this Jesus for just a minute, Pastor. Okay, what's this? Everyone together, what's this? What's this? Now watch this, guys. This is so simple. I'm taking my, and I'm putting it inside of, now everyone, listen to this. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pastor, receive Jesus. You just received Jesus, and because he just received Jesus, everyone together, what else does he have? Ticket to heaven. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Now listen to me. Whoever you are, by faith alone, you receive Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you get eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. On August 15th, 1980, I believed in marriage. Oh, did I believe in marriage? On August 15th, 1980, I wanted to be married. Oh, I wanted to be married. On August 15th, I desired married life. I desired to be married so badly. But on August 15th, 1980, I was not married. But on August 16th, 1980, I received the greatest woman in the world, and she received me. And I asked Mary Lee to be my wife. On August 15th, I believed in marriage, but I wasn't married. On August 16th, I received Mary Lee, and I was married. Listen, you could be here today, and you could say, I believe in Jesus, but you'd never received him. There's got to be a day, there's a moment when you say, by faith, Jesus, would you save me? God, I need to be forgiven of my sin. God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you all something. How many people in this auditorium, very quietly, would say, Brother Shetler, I know that I have received the Lord. I don't remember the date, just to be honest, but there was a day. I was a small kid. Brother Shetler, I have no clue what I prayed. But I do know that I have received Christ as my Savior. If I were to die today, Jim, I know I would go to heaven. Not because of the life I've lived, but because of who I've received. I believe Jesus died, buried, and rose again. And I ask Christ to be my Savior, Jim. I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I have received the Lord. If that is true in your life and you know that, would you quietly and confidently raise your hand right now? You have received. Would you hold it up for just a minute? Would you hold it up for just a minute? Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, I'm going to ask, a moment ago, you said, Brother Shetler, I could not honestly raise my hand because I do not know. And you talked about a day, and today is October 13th. I would like today to do that. I would like to ask Christ to be my Savior. I want everyone to hear this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I will not embarrass anyone in this room. But my friend, I would love to lead you to the Lord. I'm not coming down from the pulpit to you. All I would like to do is know, and I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ, and you would say, Jim, I would today like to receive the Lord. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not asking you to come forward. I want to pray with you. Okay, I want to pray for you. How many of you in this room would say, Jim, today's my day. I'd like to receive the Lord as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you lift up your hand? Is there anyone like that this morning? Amen. Amen. I see that. Are there others? Is there anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you for that. Is there anyone else? I'll wait just a minute. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here's what I'm going to do. I do not believe it's a prayer that saves a soul. I believe it's faith in Christ. However, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In the quietness of your heart, if you've never done this, would you now call on Christ to save you? Now again, I don't think it's the words that you say. It's the faith in Jesus. But it does say, call upon the Lord. So would you pray quietly in your heart as I pray out loud? Would you pray with me? And you mean this. Say, I want this, Brother Shetler. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I know you love me. And I know that I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe you took my penalty. Lord, would you save me and give me everlasting life? I ask Jesus right now to be my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you just prayed that and you meant that, would you quietly just look at me for a minute? Would you look at me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. Amen. Are there others? Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Just look at me and say, Brother Shetler, I just prayed that. I just asked Jesus to be my Savior. Now listen, if I'm missing you, it is not because I wanted to miss you. I don't know. I think I see a couple others. If you just prayed that, let me tell you, this is your greatest day. This is your greatest day. This is the day that you determined your eternal destination by asking Christ to save you. Do not be ashamed of that. I'm going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then they're going to have what they do here at Worth Baptist, which wherever I go, we do it. We have a hymn of invitation. And if you say, you know what, I'd like to have somebody help me. I do believe I did this, but I'm not ashamed. I am thrilled at what I just did, and I want somebody to know. And it'll just be a great encouragement. By the way, you'll be a great encouragement to others, but it'll be a great encouragement for you as well. You write down today, October 13th, 2024, my spiritual birthday. That was the day I asked Jesus to save me. Let's stand to our feet. Let's all stand. Father, boy, the people received the word well today. And I do not know the condition of the hearts that are in here. Father, I thank you for the couple that I do believe by faith asked you. May they never be ashamed of that decision. And Father, I pray and ask if there's others that need to receive Christ, today would be the day of salvation for them. And Father, for the rest of us, May we keep being good friends. Maybe we need to come down to the altar and just pray for some people for next week that we're really burdened about. God, may we bring people to Christ. May we be a good friend and burden for others' needs. Thank you, Lord, for how well this church listened today. God, I pray that there will be a great harvest in the days and weeks ahead of what you're going to do. But I pray these things in Jesus' name.